Now turn to part two. You will hear a man called Stephen Kane giving a presentation about research into a cargo of children's bath toys which were lost at sea. For questions 7 to 14, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part two.
Hi, I'm Stephen Kane. I want to tell you about my research into a cargo of children's bath toys lost at sea, which turned up in some unexpected places. About 20 years ago, an American company ordered 30,000 plastic bath toys from a Chinese manufacturer, packed in sets of four: a green frog, a red beaver, a classic yellow duck, and a rather uncharacteristically blue turtle. These were dispatched by sea. But en route, a storm washed the cargo overboard, and somehow the container split open, releasing the bath toys to float away on the waves. So, how did I get involved? I'm a college lecturer, but not teaching anything like economics or even geography. Media studies is my field. I set my students a vacation project, and one guy based his on a TV program about these bath toys. It made fascinating reading. Ever since, I've been trying to trace them, temporarily giving up my academic career to travel the world in the process. Every year since the accident, bath toys have turned up as far as Hawaii and Northern Europe, but first appeared on the coast of Alaska, where I began my search. There I met people whose hobby is beachcombing. They had hordes of bath toys to show me, along with sneakers, part of another lost cargo, as well as the regular flotsam and jetsam discarded by the currents. But the amazing thing is, through these discoveries, the bath toys have made an incredible contribution to scientific research. For example, to obtain information about tides and circular currents, oceanographers often release a small number of drift bottles with messages inside to track where they land. But here were 30,000 objects to trace and document. They've provided information that's been put into use right away in the shipping industry and should eventually prove invaluable to the oil industry. I was having great fun, but some of this diminished in Hawaii when I was shown how the bath toys lose their identity in the mass of marine pollutants covering some beaches there. Rumors abounded of poisoned dolphins and porpoises, and I saw the remains of a seabird with 32 different types of plastic in its stomach. So I decided to investigate other aspects of the bath toys' journey and traveled to China in search of the factory, which I thought of as their birthplace rather than their place of manufacture. I was able to track down not only the building, but also the machine they'd been made on and the person who'd operated it. One final challenge was to follow the route of bath toys to Europe via the polar ice cap. An easy option would have been to board an airliner and get an idea of the vast frozen wastes from above. But I wanted to get through, though, so I opted for enlisting as a crew member on an icebreaker. No ordinary vessel this, but one tasked with cutting a sea passage through the frozen waste. We found no frogs or beavers, but I felt a renewed respect for the toy's remarkable endurance. So, before I go on, are there any questions that you might have?
Now you'll hear part two again.
Hi, I'm Stephen Kane. I want to tell you about my research into a cargo of children's bath toys lost at sea, which turned up in some unexpected places. About 20 years ago, an American company ordered 30,000 plastic bath toys from a Chinese manufacturer, packed in sets of four: a green frog, a red beaver, a classic yellow duck, and a rather uncharacteristically blue turtle. These were dispatched by sea. But en route, a storm washed the cargo overboard, and somehow the container split open, releasing the bath toys to float away on the waves. So, how did I get involved? I'm a college lecturer, but not teaching anything like economics or even geography. Media studies is my field. I sent my students a vacation project, and one guy based his on a TV program about these bath toys. It made fascinating reading. Ever since, I've been trying to trace them, temporarily giving up my academic career to travel the world in the process. Every year since the accident, bath toys have turned up as far as Hawaii and Northern Europe, but first appeared on the coast of Alaska, where I began my search. There I met people whose hobby is beachcombing. They had hordes of bath toys to show me, along with sneakers, part of another lost cargo, as well as the regular flotsam and jetsam discarded by the currents. But the amazing thing is, through these discoveries, the bath toys have made an incredible contribution to scientific research. For example, to obtain information about tides and circular currents, oceanographers often release a small number of drift bottles with messages inside to track where they land. But here were 30,000 objects to trace and document. They've provided information that's been put into use right away in the shipping industry and should eventually prove invaluable to the oil industry. I was having great fun, but some of this diminished in Hawaii when I was shown how the bath toys lose their identity in the mass of marine pollutants covering some beaches there. Rumors abounded of poisoned dolphins and porpoises, and I saw the remains of a seabird with 32 different types of plastic in its stomach. So I decided to investigate other aspects of the bath toy's journey and traveled to China in search of the factory, which I thought of as their birthplace rather than their place of manufacture. I was able to track down not only the building, but also the machine they'd been made on and the person who'd operated it. One final challenge was to follow the route of bath toys to Europe via the polar ice cap. An easy option would have been to board an airliner and get an idea of the vast frozen wastes from above. But I wanted to get through, though, so I opted for enlisting as a crew member on an icebreaker. No ordinary vessel this, but one tasked with cutting a sea passage through the frozen waste. We found no frogs or beavers, but I felt a renewed respect for the toy's remarkable endurance. So, before I go on, are there any questions that you might have?
That's the end of part two.